About Yom Kippur, we're talking about that time period just coming up to Yom Kippur. I spoke about this a little bit last night, the 10 days of awe. Right after Rosh Hashanah, right after the new year begins, we have 10 days that we're supposed to examine ourselves. And what we do is we look at our lives, we look at our relationships, we look at our standing and where we are with other people. And we look at where we stand with God. We look at our relationship with God during this time. Now, biblically speaking, our relationship with God started out as a very close connection. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden before sin happened, before the fall, and everything was, you know, a close connection and a wonderful relationship that we had with our Creator. We were created to worship God. We were created for perfect fellowship with God. But we broke that relationship. Adam and Eve broke that relationship and that fellowship when they didn't listen to God, but listened to themselves and the enemy instead. And ever since then, ever since Genesis around chapter 3-ish, right, man has been trying to reconnect back with God in different ways. Now, they tried it their own way, though. They tried it by building this big tower called Babel. That didn't work out so well. They tried it by creating their own gods, and then there was all these gods, and to this day, there are still thousands and thousands of little gods and idols throughout the world. We talk about a lot of the idols in the Bible, but there are idols. We don't think about it in this country now because you don't go around this country and see little wooden idols in different places, but in some parts of the world, even to this day, you see that. And even if we don't have little wooden idols, we still have the idols that we can create in our hearts and our minds. Amen. And that is a serious thing. But all of these ways are our ways of trying as human beings and fallen creation to connect somehow. Many times people are trying to connect out there in the world and they don't even know what they're trying to connect with. It's God or it's a higher power or it's the universe or whatever it might be. But there's all of this yearning and longing, no matter if you're a believer or not, there's all this yearning and longing throughout the history of mankind for something greater than themselves. And what they're trying to all do is reconnect back with God. Most of them don't know it, but that's what we're trying to do when we're searching for a high power or searching for connection and relationship. So last night at our Kol Nidre service, I spoke about the sacrificial system. That was a way that God prescribed for us to connect back with Him. By bringing that sacrificial animal, by killing the animal, by the blood being shed, that was a way that we could atone for our sins and reconnect, even if it's just a little bit, with our God. And we're still trying to reconnect with our God. Now, specifically, that animal sacrifice was a central part of Judaism, a central way, and it was the prescribed way. Again, man has all these other ways of trying to reconnect back with their Creator, but God gave us one way back in the Torah, and that is the sacrificial system. And it was that central way of atonement for sins for the people. Now, today what I want to talk about is something connected with that sacrificial system, not the offering itself, which we spoke about last night, but more specifically, the ones administering those sacrifices, the priests. And more specifically, on Yom Kippur, we talk a lot about the one high priest, the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, the one person that could go and connect with God into the Holy of Holies in the temple once a year on Yom Kippur. So on Yom Kippur, different from all other days of the year, we had a high priest, and they had a very specific responsibility. And they were to represent all of Israel, really all of mankind, as they go into that Holy of Holies once a year to reconnect a fallen creation with our Creator. So I want to talk about that tonight, that relationship with God that we're all longing for, whether we know it or not. But God used these priests and the high priest to do that. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 30. We'll start there. Before we talk about the Kohen HaGadol, before we talk about the high priest, I want to talk about the Kohanim, or the priests themselves. And Exodus 30, chapter 30, verse 30, says this: "You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests." So throughout Israel's history, and throughout sometimes a corrupt history, they were picking priests, they were picking officials to do things related to the sacrificial system, and they weren't of Aaron and his sons, and it was wrong, and it was corrupt. Because God says here in Exodus 30, it's Aaron and his line after him. And of course, we're talking about the Levites and a specific branch of the Levitical tribe, right? So from Levi, who was one of the sons of Jacob, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, you get the Levites. And through the Levites, we have the Kohanim, we have the priests. And these are the prescribed people, according to the Bible, that were to be the priests before the Lord. They were of that tribe of Levi, of that line of Levi. And what they were responsible was probably the most important office in all of Israel at that time. And I want to read you a list of the priestly duties, because we always think of the priests are the ones that administer the sacrifices, and that's pretty much it. But the priests had quite a few things in their job description. And they were responsible for the temple and the sacrifices. But here's the other things. The priestly duties included offering the first fruits, pronouncing benedictions, teaching the Torah, lighting the lamps in the tabernacle, keeping the sacred fire always burning, furnishing a quota of wood for the sanctuary, being responsible itself for the sanctuary, acting as scribes, supervising the tithing, sounding the shofar, examining lepers, purifying the unclean, or being part of that purification process that the Lord had, acting as magistrates, and offering the sacrifices. So that's a lot of things in that job description. They had a lot of responsibilities. And it is really, I think, arguably, maybe even unarguably, the most important office in ancient Israel was to be a priest. Okay? And the sacrifice, because the sacrifices, that principal duty that they had, that was the way to atone for sins. Now, I brought up a scripture last night, and I want to bring it up again about this sacrificial system and how the priests are also involved in this. But Leviticus 17:11 says this, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life." Now, the blood atones for our sins, and the priests had that central function in facilitating that so the people's sins could be forgiven. So that's how central and that's how important the priests were in ancient Israel. So now that we understand who the priests were and what the priests were, I want to talk a little bit this morning about the high priest. The high priest was the chief among all priests. Turn with me to Leviticus 21, and I'm going to read verses 10 through 12 here. There's a lot of scriptures in the Torah that talk about the priests and what they did and the high priest. So Leviticus 21, 10 through 12 says this, "The priest who is chief among his brothers, on whose head the anointing oil is poured, and who has been consecrated to wear the garments, shall not let the hair of his head hang loose nor tear his clothes. He shall not go in to any dead bodies or make himself unclean, even for his father or his mother. He shall not go out of the sanctuary, lest he profane the sanctuary of his God. For the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is on him. I am the Lord." Now, the high priest had a very specific set of duties, and he was very important, and he was set apart. He was kadosh. He was supposed to be holy because he was interacting with God himself, the high priest. Now, there's a couple of things in these verses that are really important. He wasn't supposed to do the things that the other people, the children of Israel, did. He wasn't allowed to go near dead bodies, even with his father and mother dying. He couldn't go and mourn for them in that way. So this was someone who had to be kept extremely holy and who was really separated from the ways and from the people in a lot of ways. And of course, we know the first high priest was Aaron, Moses' brother. And then after Aaron came his sons and on and on. Now, the high priest was in charge of all the other priests, and it is said that those priests, the Levites, were given to Aaron and his sons. All the priests, actually, were given to Aaron and his sons to do their work. Numbers chapter 8, verse 19. "And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the people of Israel to do the service for the people of Israel at the tent of meeting, and to make atonement for the people of Israel, that there may be no plague among the people of Israel when the people of Israel come near the sanctuary. So remember, the tribe of Levi contained the priests, and Aaron was the high priest, and his sons were that high priestly line. But all the Levitical priests were given to Aaron for this important work in the temple. Now we get to Yom Kippur. Now we get to once a year on Yom Kippur, there is very specific duties that the Kohen HaGadol, the head priest, the high priest, were to do. Once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So now let's read Leviticus 16. I read it a little bit last night. Leviticus 16, verses 29 to 31. And it shall be a statute to you forever that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves and do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you, and you shall afflict yourselves. It is a statute forever. Now, we kind of stopped there last night. But tonight we go a little bit further, and we're going to read verses 32 to 34. Because as we go a little further in this scripture reading, we talk about the priests now and how they're involved in Yom Kippur. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated, verse 32, as priest in his father's place, shall make atonement, wearing the holy linen garments. This is the high priest, verse 33. He shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary. He shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. He shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. And this shall be a statute forever for you, that atonement may be made for the people of Israel once in the year because of all their sins. And Aaron did as the Lord commanded. So last night we talked about the sacrifices and how people could come and offer sacrifices. The blood would be shed for the remission of their sins, specifically them individually. Now we read tonight about the high priest on Yom Kippur and how his job was to go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the entire community. This was a corporate atonement. This is the entire nation of Israel. This is all the other priests. This is for the tent of meeting and the temple itself. This is how important this was once a year on Yom Kippur for the high priest. So this is really, really important stuff. He would go in and he would make atonement. Now there was different parts of the temple. You had the gates, you had the courtyard, you had the holy place. And all of these things had various elements, you know, like the menorah was there and the altar was there and all these things were there. But then through that holy place, you go into the most holy place or the Holy of Holies. No one could go in there except the high priest once a year. And he would go through the temple. He would go through the portico, the opening section. He would go into the holy place, and then he would go further into that most holy place, the Holy of Holies, only on Yom Kippur. And that is said, that's where the presence of God was. That's where the Shekhinah, the divine manifest presence of God, would come down. And there in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the cherubim were on top of the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat, the Shekhinah, the very presence of God, would come down from heaven and meet earth right there between the cherubim. And that's where the high priest would be in that room, offering, asking for forgiveness for the sins of the people. Now, the high priest was wearing the ephod. He was wearing the breastpiece with the 12 tribes represented as jewels on him. It represented all of the people. He was going and making that once a year atonement for the entire community. And it was a really, really important thing. Now, the Torah tells us that part of his garments had these bells that were put on them. They were actually bells, and they would ring as he would walk into the throughout the temple and into the Holy of Holies. Now, Exodus 28:35 talks to us about the bells. Let's go there. And it shall be on Aaron when he ministers, and its sound shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out, so that he does not die. Now listen, this guy had to go in there once a year, all decked out. He's got these bells on so people can hear him. And they knew that when the bells were ringing, he was alive in there administering and asking for forgiveness and atoning for the sins. And when those bells stopped, something went wrong, right? The high priest would die. Now, we're talking about the most holy place on earth, the only place where God came down to meet man at earth at that time. So the priest had to make sure that he was holy through and through. Thoughts, his mind, his actions. And if he did something wrong, remember the story when the ark was brought into Jerusalem with David and the ark fell and one of the men went to go touch the ark and instantly died. Now you could say, oh, that's terrible. He was just trying to help out. God is a holy God. Now if that high priest has every good intention but makes a mistake inside the Holy of Holies, he'll go down as well. He will die and those bells will stop ringing. Now, so it's very, very holy, and it's very, very important that he does the right thing before the Lord when he's doing this. Now, what I'm about to say is Jewish tradition. It's not in the Bible, but there is a Jewish tradition that says the high priest has the bells. We know that from the Bible. And Jewish tradition says he's also got a cord tied around his waist, and the other end of the cord would stay all the way outside the temple. And when he went in with the cord and the bells, if the people heard the bells ringing, all was good. Everything was going according to plan. If the bells stopped ringing, they knew that he died because he stopped moving. He went down. And they would have to pull him out by the cord. This is according to Jewish tradition. And they would have to drag out his body because they couldn't go in to get him. Now, that's just tradition. But biblically, we know about the bells like I spoke about earlier. And the story itself does make a point. And the point is our God is holy. The point is our God is kadosh. The word is kadosh in Hebrew. And kadosh literally translates as set apart. Adonai is a holy God and we can't go in. We're sinners. We have a broken relationship with God because what I talked about earlier. We were created to have that beautiful fellowship with God, but it was broken. And now we have this elaborate way that God designed for once a year the high priest to go in to reconnect us with God. But even then it was kind of a tenuous thing. The priest could have died for any reason and we'd have to drag him out, couldn't go in. There was still that separation because we have a holy God and we are sinners. We have broken God's Torah and because of that we can't fellowship with God. We can't just waltz in back then into the Holy of Holies. We would die instantly. So we continue to have this separation and this broken relationship with God because of our sin. Now, the problem is today we don't have a temple. And we don't have a Holy of Holies that we can go in and connect with God once a year. And we don't have a high priest. So there is a distinct problem. And I talked about this problem within Judaism. I talked about it last night. There is this problem. Can't bring the animal sacrifices. We don't have the high priest to go and atone for our sins in the Holy of Holies. What do we do? What do Jewish people do? And this is the quandary. This is the dilemma. And this is the question for Jewish people throughout the world. And as they come to Yom Kippur services, they don't know the answer. Unfortunately, the rabbis don't know the answer and the people don't know the answer. Well, those of us that believe that Yeshua came as the Messiah, what we believe is he is our eternal high priest. He is the high priest spoken about. And there's many, many verses in the Tanakh and the Old Testament that point to this. And the Hebrew scriptures speak of a type of priest to come who will be special. So let's start with Psalm 110, verse 4. And this is a very mysterious but interesting scripture reading in Psalm 110. And it says this, verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we have this very strange verse that's inserted here about this priest. And he's saying, God is saying, you are a priest. Now, who is the you that he's speaking about? Well, traditionally, this person spoken about is ascribed as the Mashiach, as the Messiah. And of course, the wording of Melchizedek is also interesting because he is this mysterious priest that shows up in the book of Genesis. And he is the priest that is so special, yet so mysterious, that Abraham gives him a tithe. Abraham, who is a great and righteous man, as soon as he sees Melchizedek, he gives him a tithe. Now, who is this Melchizedek? As I said, he is traditionally ascribed as in Psalm 10 and as in Genesis, as the Messiah. And many of us, we believe that he is the pre-incarnate, in a way, a foreshadowing of Messiah Yeshua. And so much so that Abraham gives him a tithe. Now listen, when we give our tithes out, who are we giving our tithes to ultimately? We're giving them to God. So you see that correlation. He's giving the tithe to someone who is very, very special. And in Psalm 10, he says, you're a priest forever, just as after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the book of Hebrews explains a lot about the high priest, explains a lot about the messianic connection for us. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. And you know, you can read the entire book of Hebrews because the entire book of Hebrews explains to us about the priestly functions, roles, the high priest, and really about how Yeshua fulfills those requirements as the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So Hebrews 5, verses 9 and 10 says this, and it's talking about the Messiah, Yeshua. It says, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So we have the Psalm 110, verse 4 scripture about you are a priest forever. Who is that talking about? Hebrews 5 tells us it's talking about Yeshua himself. He is the high priest forever, having been made perfect, has become the source of eternal salvation. And we call him Yeshua. Now we call him Yeshua because that's his name in Hebrew. That's a documented fact. His name is Yeshua. It's the name his mother Miriam gave him. And what we like to do is we like to translate that Hebrew name into, in the English, Jesus. But the word Yeshua doesn't directly translate into Jesus. Or said another way, Jesus is not the English translation of Yeshua. The Hebrew word actually translates directly as God saves or salvation. That's what Yeshua, the word, means. Salvation. And salvation is the saving of someone for their sins, of saving them from death or from something terrible. That's what salvation means. And salvation for us in Yeshua, salvation, means we can once again have that perfect connection with God. The high priest, Aaron and his sons, can only go in once a year to the Holy of Holies, make atonement for a time period. They would have to go back in the next year and do it all over again. They would have to go back in the next year after that and do it all over again. But Yeshua is said to be that high priest in the order of Melchizedek who is giving us eternal salvation. He went in once, so to speak. He died once for our sins, was raised to life, made perfect. And now, because of what our high priest Yeshua has done, he has actually repaired and restored the broken relationship that we have had all these years. Just as the high priest was a shadow, a temporary fix, Yeshua is the eternal fix for our sins. Every year he would have to go back into the Holy of Holies, that high priest, over and over and over again. But Yeshua is that eternal high priest. Now, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11, explains a little bit more to us. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law or the Torah, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek? Okay, I'm going to stop right there. So if what God said back in Leviticus was forever, meaning a high priest would go in, the high priest would go in every year, if that was the case, then why would that have to be the case that God says, I'm going to have a better way, and it's going to be after the order of Melchizedek, and it's a permanent high priest, and it's an eternal thing. So let me read that verse 11 again. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? The one named after the order of Aaron was a temporary thing to get us through. It was a foreshadowing. Obviously, it was temporary because we don't have it anymore. We don't have a temple anymore. Regardless of what you think, the temple was destroyed 2,000 years ago. We have no way, even if we wanted to continue that. But we have one that's come through after the order of Melchizedek. He came before the temple was destroyed. Yeshua came 40 years before the temple was destroyed. And he now picks it up and is a high priest for us. Now, Hebrews 7, verses 22 through 28, it's kind of a lot of reading, but I think it's important for us to go through it. And I'm going to read it now, 22 through 28, because it further explains this. This makes Yeshua the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, Yeshua, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the outermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Let me stop right there after verse 25. The high priest is no longer able to go into the Holy of Holies. There's no temple, there's no sacrificial system. We have Yeshua who makes intercession continually for us. We don't have to worry, we don't have a high priest. Our sins haven't been forgiven. And then we go to some other means of reconnecting with God, as I talked about at the beginning. And in Judaism, we do have other means that we've developed. Good deeds, kindness, charity, tzedakah, all those things are wonderful, but they don't take the place of the sacrificial system. They don't take the place of atoning for our sins. But in verse 25, it says, he's able to save to the outermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives. He was resurrected and ascended to heaven. He is still alive today in the heavenlies, making intercession for us. Verse 26, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Let me stop right there. The high priest had to be separated. Remember when we talked about that? He had to be set apart. He couldn't go when his parents died even to go and mourn for them because he couldn't go near or touch a dead body. Okay? He was separate. That was a foreshadowing of Yeshua. Yeshua was separate, holy, unstained, it says in verse 26, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. Verse 27 and 28, he has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weaknesses as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. That is our hope. That is the entire hope that we are basing our lives on here as messianic believers, is Yeshua is our high priest. He is the son who has been made perfect forever. And we can be assured at this time of Yom Kippur that he is in the Holy of Holies, ministering, atoning for our sins, making intercession for our sins. You know, he is Jacob's ladder that it talks about in Genesis. He is the ladder that connects earth to heaven. We had that connection once a year in Yom Kippur when the Shekhinah would come down from heaven and touch ground, you know, in between the cherubim with the high priest there. And only then could the high priest make atonement. Yeshua comes and is a ladder for us day in and day out, 24/7, 365 days a year to connect us back with God. He is that Jacob's ladder. He is that high priest, and he has been made perfect forever. So we have Yeshua, our eternal high priest, who goes before the Father anytime we want to make atonement for us. Anytime you call out to him, he's there to make atonement for you. We sin each day, Al-Chet, we've talked about that, and each day we can ask for forgiveness, not just on Yom Kippur. Each day we can ask forgiveness in Yeshua, and God will cleanse us from our sins and wipe them away and cast them into the depths of the sea, as we talked about with Rosh Hashanah and Tashlich. How awesome is that? Yeshua, our perfect high priest. He is much more important than the high priest was back then. Even though the high priest was vitally important to Israel, he's even more important. There had to be the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. This is another reason why Yeshua is even more important. He is the high priest, but here's the thing. Yeshua is also the blood sacrifice. He serves in both capacities for us. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Yeshua. It's not that he goes in and talks to God the Father and says, okay, you can let them in, forgive them of their sins, they're good now. He's the one that died and shed his blood for our sins. He's both the high priest and the offering and the blood atonement. So as we celebrate on Yom Kippur, as we commemorate this special day, let's remember Yeshua is the high priest. Let's remember Yeshua is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. Amen. If you've never accepted his sacrifice, if you've never accepted him as the high priest of your life, I urge you today in this room on the live streaming, accept him in your heart. Make that decision today to say, I'm a sinner. I recognize it. Forgive me, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, who goes before you, Father, who goes before you to take away my sins, whose blood has been shed. We have to acknowledge our sins. That's the first step. And then we have to say, Lord, take them away in the name of Yeshua. And he's going to be our high priest making atonement for us. So at this Yom Kippur, if you know the Lord personally, if you have that reconnection with him, strengthen it. Strengthen your faith at this Yom Kippur. Know that he's your high priest. And if you know of people, if you have friends and family members that don't know him, pray for them on this Yom Kippur. Pray that their eyes would be open to the greatest high priest under the order of Melchizedek. And if you don't know the Lord, seek him out, because the Bible says, seek him and you'll find him. And if you ever have any questions about this, you can call the office, you can talk to me. I will be happy to go through it with you. Yeshua fulfilled over 300 prophecies in the Tanakh. Not just these ones about the priest. Not just these ones about the animal sacrifice. The book that we're going to talk about in a few minutes talks about, it's like a 1 trillion, billion, million, dillionth, whatever, illionth. How many ever times you could say it, it's incalculable the odds that Yeshua could do it all, but yet he does it all and that he fulfills it all. But it's true. It's documented. He's the only one that could ever be to fulfill it. So if you have questions on that, please ask me. This is a time where we can all press into God. This is the time where we can remember that he has brought his son, Yeshua, so that we can have that broken connection restored, so that we can constantly be able, and there's scriptures that say this, to ourselves go into the Holy of Holies and speak with God, even face to face. We have that ability today. We have that privilege today. So as we pray, let's just remember that. And as we pray, let us connect back with God today. Amen. Lord, God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God of all creation, we come before your throne today on this Yom Kippur Yizkor service, remembering, Lord God, who you are, what you've done, knowing, Lord, that you are the great high priest, Yeshua, that you went in to the Holy of Holies for us, that you died for our sins, and we can be raised to new life, just as you were raised to life. We can have our sins atoned for on this Yom Kippur and every day by having you advocating for us as our high priest with our names on your chest as you go in and speak to the Father for us. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that access to you. We thank you for that connection and that relationship that we can have. And Lord, I pray for each and every person that's listening to the sound of my voice even now, that desires, that longs for that connection with you, that relationship with you. Lord, speak to them today. Lord, draw them supernaturally. Lord, break the chains that have been on them, whether it's doubt, whether it's worry, whether it's what are my parents going to think, or how am I going to do this? Lord, break those chains in the name of Yeshua and supernaturally reveal to people that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life, Yeshua. And I pray that more and more and more people, even today, would reconnect with you for that relationship. We thank you, God, and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.